This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
The victims have gotten a little older in age, but we're dealing with the same monster, just with new tricks. This is Surviving R. Kelly. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Freedom, freedom, I can't
welcome
move.
Back, freedom, everybody. Yeah. This is the freedom, mood freedom, moving forward. I wish I could sing because I would like literally try to break down R. Kelly's door with this song.
Oh my God.
Same. We're gonna get into cults, sex slaves, fighting parents, and the same free man after 20 plus years.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. This has been a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
This docuseries has taken us up and down, and all we could really ask for is a little bit of freedom for the victims.
And question his freedom.
I'm so glad to be back with you guys. This is Elena.
I am Keith. I'm excited to be here again as well.
Yes, thanks for having me, guys. I'm Robin with the V here.
And Tyler here joining you guys. Excited to be here.
Y'all, this changes the theme of everything because the conversation of tonight is recent.
Yeah.
It's an updated conversation. We're no longer talking about things that happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. We're talking about things that happened within the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The entire storyline outside of the first character we were introduced to for the final two episodes, everyone has met him within the last, you know, two to five years, I would say.
Yes.
Real close to...
So this, now. It's getting real. It's getting real because you've disconnected yourself from this situation and now it's like staring you in the face in a whole new fashion. Cults?
Right.
Sex slaves?
Right.
What?
And even the evolution of like his experience from start
the progression.
To finish.
Right. It's progression. So real.
It's crazy to think about. Now it's like we kind of do have this responsibility.
He went from stalking outside of a high school to having an entire home of women at his beck and call being held against their will. Technically, they can leave if they want to, but they're so brainwashed that in their mind, they can't really leave.
He has secured his protection on a different level.
Yep. What?
And at first, it was all about the young girls, but now we're starting to see that it wasn't just young girls. It was older women as well. He preyed on women in general that were very weak. So
weak-minded.
Let's get into this. Oh goodness. Let's break down. So what's been presented to us. That was like a whirlwind.
Right.
What's hard about what's been presented to us the last two episodes is that he's living multiple lives at the same time. Mm-hmm. He has these cult of women, these girls and women in his home. But he also has relationships with individual people. Like, he's in full-blown relationships, getting out of a marriage. Like
outside of
the craziness that's happening. So it's kind of hard to really dissect the two because we don't really have a timeline. Like, who was he with when? Yeah. When was he doing what when?
Everything becomes
everything was at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, simultaneously.
Even with Andrea, like his wife.
Yeah.
He was married the whole time. He was doing half of
and
majority.
Still succeeding at a career.
Yeah.
And we all know how demanding just having a career is.
Mm-hmm.
And she
brought that up. And she brought up the fact that he couldn't do it alone. Obviously, his team was a huge part in this. That's why it continued for so long.
Backtracking a little bit, I don't remember which girl it was, but saying that she arrived at the hotel around the same time as his wife did.
Right.
And there was an assistant. Person. There was an assistant with her and an assistant.
And a manager.
And a manager with the other person. Lisa. But they couldn't talk. Was it Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
Lisa said that she saw, like, imagine you checking into the hotel with your husband, girlfriend, I guess. All of it is just a mess.
And for Andrea to not even question it or just not be in the mind frame. I mean, she said he was with her all the time, which I still feel that so hard to believe for him to have that extra time to do all the other shenanigans, for her not to realize something was going on.
I caught myself thinking, even as his wife, like, I kind of know your team. I should know your team. I mean, but he was controlling. She was also a victim. Right. He also kept her separate, so she may not have that.
She also... not to get some food when Sparkle was chilling in the living room watching the game.
Right.
Right.
So we don't know, you know, what mindset she was in. And she could have thought that Lisa was an assistant also, or someone new on his team, or someone working,
true.
You know.
True. Yeah,
everybody's story is going on, but each person has, like, a different vantage point. It's like your seat in the theater. Like, from your angle, it looks this way. From yours, it looked this way. And the whole time, it's like, whoa. This massive, like, blueprint of...
Yeah, and mess. At the same time, everyone that's in their own little box, their windows are closed. Blacked out.
Yeah.
On top of that.
Yeah.
So you have a certain view, but it's completely skewed.
Yeah.
You have no idea what the view you even have is, because essentially it's not a view at all.
Right?
You have no knowledge, scary. No nothing.
I do like how they picked it kind of back up where it left off. So we left him at the trial and everything that was happening, but we were introduced to Geronda, who mm-hmm. met him while he was on trial. How you even do that? Mm-hmm. Like, you are fighting for your freedom. How do you have the time to look over at younger girls and smile and wave and be courteous to your friends? And then you meet a whole new victim?
Yep.
While you on trial for this mess?
And she seems like she was an easy target, because while he's going through all of this, she's still supporting him. So she was like, she was probably like, yep, that's another one, because she's not even trying to see what it is he's going up against.
And so many people weren't, though. I mean, so many young people, or young women in particular back then, could have been an easy target because they were out there repping for R. Kelly, and mm-hmm. he's a black man.
The questions that I have, though, because she did seem... She admitted to being a super fan and to, like, you know, lying about her whereabouts, skipping school, being there. So she put herself out there. She mm-hmm. admitted to that and said that. My questions come in watching the series was... how did she have such easy access to him?
Because she was the closest. You saw it in all the photos.
In all the photos, she's mm-hmm. right there. Like, mm-hmm. how does that happen? You know what I mean? Like, you're on trial. You're going in and out. I imagine you have security. You have all these fans here. So, of course, you're keeping certain people at bay. But that didn't seem like the case when it became the two. Like, so I'm just...
There's a will, there's a way. She was very determined. Even when she got to say her little words of positivity, keep your head up.
How?
Like, she was willing.
Right.
Willing.
From what she knew, too, because he also was determined. I'm sure, like they said, giving eyes in the courtroom or making her feel that she had this presence and wanting to be around him. Yeah. I think that's part of, like, the whole... taking victims and being a predator is having enough presence to make someone feel
that power.
The enemy to, like,
infiltrate. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Even trying to keep up, because we have that storyline. And when that's happening, we have Andrea letting us know that he shipped her off to Florida on a bus
pregnant.
While she was pregnant mm-hmm. right before, you know, he got locked up. And she's getting the news from the hospital room.
Right.
Like, from the hospital bed.
Almost
what?
Almost dropped the baby and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Almost... a whole new life.
Yep.
That almost didn't even come to fruition because she almost wasn't able to even provide life for this baby.
Right.
Based on the stress that she put on her body.
Had to have an emergency procedure to deliver this baby. Now, we've been doing this temperature check thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you guys stand when it comes to Geronda meeting R. Kelly, him being on trial, Andrea giving birth to her son, and not knowing any of what's happening on the other side of his life?
That's tough.
It's harder for me to accept not knowing anything, especially once you get to the hospital. And then she said she had no one there but her best friend. And mm-hmm. I feel like, well, your best friend isn't being controlled by him and the rules and regulations, yeah. right? Is there someone that can reach out to your best friend and be like, girl, I heard this, da, da, da. You need to ask Andrea. Like, I just have a hard time. Like, I don't know if it was a blind eye more than anything or a blind eye based on the fact that you are brainwashed in right. a sense.
I think that's what it was. I mean, because she was a victim too. It would be a right. whole nother situation if it was just a wife and a husband who had all these allegations. But you right. were his wife, but you also were a victim. And
right.
isolated. So, I mean, she's adamant about saying that she didn't experience anything of it. That part is a little like, oh, well, maybe you did, because I feel like most people in hindsight will look back and be like, well, this probably was this or this probably
right. She
was
said
that.
She never met any of or saw any of the girls. Is that what she said? She never saw any of the girls.
Yeah, she never
I
did.
Think she said something mm-hmm. like that, right?
She said she was like never exposed to him being with the younger girls, etc. My thing, though, is he has a pattern of mixing his victims. So no doubt that Andrea was a victim. No doubt that he brainwashed Absolutely. Her and had her under the power. However, I believe my temperature check is you had some knowledge of what was going on, Something. Of what he was fooling with, because you're smart.
And by this time, there's too many rumors for you not to have any.
You have, but he kept her isolated. So if she didn't get the rumors, I get it. But when it comes to lifestyle, like you have children with him, you're seeing him in certain capacity. This is before she broke free. Like you hear, even if you are locked in a room. As the rumor has it, you're hearing things through the walls. You're hearing things through the doors. You had some English. Like, you know what I mean? I just feel like you.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, all that is totally repressed and, like, locked away, which it could be.
It could. I mean, I'm not. Maybe she didn't. I really don't know what she's been through, truthfully, because there are some things that she admitted to not wanting to talk about and not wanting to relive. And no, that's no fault to her. It's just really hard for us to get the totality of this situation from the docuseries and then try not to see how people right. didn't know.
And maybe if she actually gave us more insight and took us through those grueling details that she doesn't want to share, it could help.
Right.
You know, I feel like you've gotten this far. You can't you can't give us just the sides. You got to give us the whole entree, like the three course meal.
Can we clarify whether or not they were in the same house? Because I know the girls were kept in the big house in Atlanta, but the wife, I think, was held separately.
So the girls who were held in the house in Atlanta was after they got divorced.
Okay.
Right.
So prior to, there were some girls in the house when he was married. They were just in the Colorado room.
Right.
Okay.
Downstairs.
That wooden room.
And then, like, his wife would be upstairs, whatever the case may be.
So, right. And so if she's not allowed to move without him knowing, then he could easily coordinate and orchestrate, making sure that there's no run-in.
Especially if she's locked in her room.
Right.
But then, but we have some of the girls who were in the Colorado room saying, yeah, he would tell us that his wife was upstairs. Right. Like, a lot of them.
So they knew better not to come up.
They couldn't, but just from their, when they were recounting their story, at least two or three of them said, yeah, his wife was home or his wife was upstairs.
Right.
So he's told you that? Like, so.
But two, he has reason to tell them, but why would he tell his wife? I don't want you to know about this whole other life I'm living. I'm not going to tell you it's girls down in the basement.
Because once he crossed the line with her and also turned her into one of these girls, except I'm married to you, I feel like it was, this is just what it is.
He wouldn't have cared. But she was also in denial.
She was in denial, and he still, I think, had something to lose. I mean, yeah, she was your wife, but by this time you got kids. I don't know that he would just give all that information away. And then I did want to just point out with the whole pulse check or temperature check, it's not that we're saying one thing is true or one thing is not.
Right.
It's just watching something and consuming it, how easily swayed am I, or what direction would I naturally go into?
Thanks for clarifying that.
For sure.
So, okay, we're gonna get into a lot of different characters from these last two episodes. We have the cult, we have the girlfriends. It's just so much. So we know that it starts with Geronda. She met at trial. One of the most saddest parts of these two episodes was her talking about how he took her virginity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And her, it being stolen from her in a way where she can't even really react. She was like, I mean, whatever, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's so heartbreaking.
It was.
Yeah. It was.
And he didn't make it special for her either.
He didn't.
I'm sorry, but bent over the couch is not.
And then talk about it's fresh, it's tight.
For the first time. Oh. Seems like you're ready.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. The music is just replaying in my head. I can't.
I mean, these two episodes were really like, whoa.
I was clutching pearls.
Whoa. It was hard. And he builds this relationship with Geronda and then tells her, go out and bring me someone. And her loving him, she went out and brought him someone.
Yep.
She did.
Ain't that it? Her loving him.
Her loving him was like, yeah, sure, daddy.
Damn. Yeah.
God, that literally just was disgusting.
And then once again, it goes back to fear and the fact that you can't ask any questions. You can't say, well, what am I bringing her here for? Or like,
or
why are we
doing this?
Is
something that I really want to do?
Yeah. She brings her friend, though. Like, she admitted to realizing that I didn't really want to go with it, but it's R. Kelly. I don't really want to do this, but it's R. Kelly. She go bring her friend. She brings Dominique into the situation.
She knows Dominique likes R. Kelly just as much as she does.
That's
how they bonded.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Over their love for R. Kelly.
She said it was over MySpace, right?
Yes.
So they bonded over loving R. Kelly. So she's like, who better? You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Then Dominique's mama's like, oh, yeah. She out there with her friend. No, she out there with R. Kelly.
She out there.
Right.
Yep. And once again, the parents are unaware of what's really going on. But it's like when your kid is telling you that they're going to the movies, but they're not going to the movies, that's where it gets sticky because now people are blaming the parents. But it's like the parents can only do so much. If you tell me you're going somewhere, then it's
especially
like,
if you put trust into your child.
I've done that before.
Yeah,
when I was that age, I'm going somewhere and go somewhere else. Like that was a part of being a teenager and enjoying the fruits of being young and free. No one would ever think that their kids are going off to some grown man's house who's gonna hold them hostage essentially, like mentally.
Yeah,
but again, R. Kelly's not the only man that does this. So whether you don't think that she might be with R. Kelly or not, there are still a ton of predators out there. So
absolutely.
As parents, not that we're held responsible if our children are lying to us and we put trust into them. That's not the case because I'm sure we all have been there. But that just makes it more important for us to be active in their lives, to kind of discern when they are telling the truth, when they are lying, and have those check-ins. Like, okay, you're going to go out to the movies. You might be lying, but make sure that you are checking in with me at least. You know,
and even that doesn't always work
at
because
all. You can
I
slide.
Know someone else that's in the industry that did stuff like that, and he took her phone and was responding to her mom.
Oh, gosh.
So, like, even if you think they're okay,
yeah,
it doesn't mean they're okay. Like, it's just, it's a sick world out there.
Yeah.
And it's really unfortunate.
It is. But I think, so to both, I mean, parents do have a certain level of responsibility in the matter as well. But like you said, it's easy. You can get over on your parents. I mean, we live in Hollywood. I know people who done been in DMs, who done did this. So, but at a certain point, you hope that it's not too late. And I think with the cases of some of these parents, it was like, well, you know, we may not have been the best equipped for raising children.
No, no one can prepare you for this as
ever.
A parent. You're not ready for this.
Ever. Like how?
No.
What I'm supposed to do. Especially when your child is a late teenager or even a young adult. There's but so much you can do.
Until the opportunity presents itself.
There's but so much you can do.
Yeah. I mean, Dominique's mom was a real one.
And she was by herself.
Mm-hmm. But
she didn't have her husband or her man.
That opportunity to come up. You know what
I mean? She was the first parent that we got introduced to that was like, your daughter is going to make some decisions. Your daughter's going to be out there. But she's like, okay, I'm not just going to, like, let it go. I'm not just going to sit back and whatever.
Proactive.
Yeah. Like, my daughter may be out here acting up, but I'm going to let her know that I got her back regardless.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that comfort is needed when you're dealing with a child who's been victimized. I need to know that I still have some support. Like, I may have made the craziest decisions. You may, like, you know, I just need to know that I have somewhere to come. And we don't know what that hope was like for Dominique. Like, holding on to the fact that her mom was fighting for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so many of the girls, I imagine, didn't even have parents who would notice, who would care, who would fight for them, who would go across the country, whatever the case may be.
Which was how he was able to hook sync those ones.
Yeah.
So with Dominique, we have her mom. Dominique goes away. Dominique's story was a little explosive for me because the former employee who was anonymous disclosed that R. Kelly turned Dominique into the little boy he always wanted. And that just
added a whole nother layer.
But then it was like, I was waiting to see when that was going to be covered throughout this series, because we, I don't know about you guys, but I had already heard the rumors of about him being bisexual and that type of stuff. So I was wondering if that was going to get covered in any form or fashion. And when they revealed that, I was like,
well, they didn't reveal anything about him being bisexual.
But that still, still gave me a little like
learning his past, being molested as a boy. And then everything from then, I was actually surprised that he didn't take interest in little boys when watching the docuseries. But when
to our knowledge, to
what's been presented.
Right.
But when the anonymous employer said that he turned Dominique into the little boy because she was already a tomboy, so he played into that.
Right.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Because it even though I may have had an inkling about him being with young boys, it still shook me.
Yeah.
To the point where I was just like, what does that mean? Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I don't think I ever had thought of like R. Kelly in the context of like young boys or that would be a thing. But hearing that, it definitely was like, wow, this, it really changes the game in terms of the kind of credibility we give him, because now you get to see him more as like somebody who has like, like there's disturbance going on here more than just like a fetish or like, oh,
it's a dominating thing.
Yeah, it's like you're building this whole world and it's out of control.
And correct me if I'm wrong, he was molested by a male and a female, right? Okay.
He was molested by a man in his neighborhood and then a woman who used to watch him.
Yeah.
Okay. I was really curious that We got to hear from both of his brothers, but we didn't hear from his sister.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just
the brother curious. In jail, I just...
He's sick. He made me choke so him out.
He's sick. He's just as sick as Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In my opinion. That's my temperature.
No, I don't see how anything seemed okay with how he was going about the interview and giving his opinions. He like young girls.
Yeah,
what's wrong with that?
Definitely difficult.
I'm mad at the baby brother. I'm mad at our baby brother. Like, he was gonna offer you $1,000.
You could have been rich.
I'm sorry, that is not rich.
Rich what?
But that was in 1 and 2, y'all. We have
a whole bunch. No, but the
brothers didn't show up again.
He did. He showed up again when it came down to the trial because R. Kelly and his team lied and said that was his little brother in the tape.
That's 3 and 4.
Okay, whoa.
Okay, we getting checked.
Oh, you're right. Keep us on track because we do got a whole lot of girls. You're right. It is a lot of girls. So we have Dominique, right? She's now the little boy. Mm-hmm. And that was the way that came out.
The anonymous person called her his little boy toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then we get Jocelyn. Complete opposite of, because Dominique was introduced to him young, which is why it was very hard for me with that story, because her friend who introduced her to R. Kelly got out. Like, she had all the cutesy stories about how we used to try to meet up in the bathroom. Not cutesy, but we used to try to meet up in a certain bathroom in the house. We used to text each other. And it never worked. Right. But then you got out and you left your friend there.
Everybody has to leave their friends. I'm sorry. When it's at this point, I have to look out for me.
I want you to get out and I want you to look out for you. But while you know the patterns at this point.
Well, at least as you get older and become a little mature, and then you can learn to take accountability that you are the reason why your friend is there.
Something. Like, I mean, and I don't know in which way she may have contributed into bringing Dominique home. But from what was presented to us, she was just like, I found my opportunity and I left.
I feel like I would have left too. And we don't know if Dominique wanted to stay either. True. So it's kind of hard to say.
Right. I mean, well, we found out something about Dominique.
Well, yeah, because her mom rescues her. Right. And even that encounter was heartbreaking. And then we find out at the end of the docuseries that after her mom rescues her, she goes back.
Yeah. Right.
3 days later, she goes back, and I remember sitting there shocked, like, why?
And psychologically, that's normal. And they go back, what they say, seven to ten times.
Because that's home. That's home for Dominique.
It's Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. I was going to say, the statistic that they give was like seven times.
That was bizarre. And
that was when we got, well, I'll let you go.
You go.
Because that was when we got down to a girlfriend, and I was outside of the cult and the sex. Was it Kitty?
I think it was.
It was Kitty.
Yeah. Yeah, because mm-hmm. she.
Oh, so, saying if he doesn't pick up the phone, I'm going right, back. Right, right. That type
because
of thing.
Because Kitty was a woman with a job on the radio. Mm-hmm. And then she decided to be in love. She got mm-hmm. caught up in that. But by the time.
And this is the double life. This right. is him having the girls.
Adult. Right.
Because he didn't introduce her to the girls until later.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is so while the whole Geronda, Dominique, Jocelyn situation is happening
in real time, he has relationships with women. This mm-hmm. is a woman that he met, I think at like 33.
Yeah.
Yes.
They get into a relationship together. Time goes on. She moves in. I think maybe a year or two later, he introduces the fact that there are these girls. Mm-hmm. And she gets wrapped up in it, which is like crazy too.
Because before that, so always so interesting how they say, like, because the rumors and the stories have always been out there.
Yes.
So interesting for her to say, I've kind of heard about it. My girlfriend told me about it. I researched it. I was offended. I researched it. I saw what the rumor said. We talked about it.
She recognized the girl.
And then when he introduced her, mm-hmm. right. she was like, oh, this ain't a rumor.
She recognized.
Oh, this real life.
And who was the girl she recognized?
See, I wasn't sure if it was the little girl or the older one.
I think it was the 14-year-old.
Which is why I say there has been a continuance of that once 14-year-old continuing to mess with him, which is why when it was down to 3 and 4, the family may have not.
They may have been just listening to their daughter. Right.
Because she still is.
She may have fought. So they may have taken the money because she's going to go back to him anyway. You know what I mean? Like, if you come from nothing and you are getting offered 5 to 6 figure lump sums.
Yeah.
And then you know that your daughter is telling you, I don't care what money he offering, I'm going to go back. I'm going to take the money. You go back. You do what you do. We won't say nothing. But you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
The game.
That's crazy.
That's the game.
And Kitty recognized her. And I remember that's when it triggered for me that, okay, this is the same Sparkle's niece.
Ongoing. Yes.
Sparkle's niece.
It's still in there.
Yep. The little rapper that she wanted R. Kelly to help her niece.
The baby girl. The baby girl.
And I wonder, could that be why we still do not know who this person is? Like, yeah. I've never seen any rumor. I've never seen any media that knows, like, who is this mystery niece?
Yeah.
R. Kelly has it on lock.
He does. But the Kitty thing is what was like, wow, when you think about like domestic violence and the strength that it takes to get out. That's why it can be this is my only exit and I'm going to go. Because when Kitty, I can't remember what actually was her breaking point that drove her to leave.
She had been starving for 3 or 4 days.
That's right.
And
that's
he
right.
He sat up there and was eating in front of her.
Yeah.
And she just looked at him. He was like, don't look at me while I eat. And she was like, I'm not staring at you. And then it was either take her life or take his. Right. And that was the breaking point.
She started thinking about it.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine being starved for 3 to 4 days and then watching this person that you're in love with just eat in front of you?
I don't know how you could be in love. I mean, I get it, the whole brainwashing thing, but
we'll never understand it.
It's a lot, but I think it's a lot of that guilt and that just comes with it, or feeling like you're, because domestic violence, you're made to feel less than, you're made to feel wrong, you're made to feel that your being and your presence is causing offense. So I think in large part that makes you like not even consider like getting back at somebody or going back and forth.
Those are the effects of being highly degraded. And I mean, think about Tina Turner, though, right? We watched What's Love Got to Do. I don't know. Did you guys watch What's Love?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we mm-hmm. saw her go through those same moments mm-hmm. of like leaving, coming back, leaving, coming back, leaving, coming back. Then finally, last straw, limo scene, shoo. Right. You know, like you get to that break, and some people don't make it to that if it's really abusive, and some people lose their lives over it. Yeah. You know? But I mean, I can be thankful that they're alive.
Yeah. They are, but
so
it's a lot.
Kitty's out the situation. Right. She has the courage and finds the strength to leave.
And almost didn't.
because of the phone call.
Right.
We're introduced to the Savages, who publicly fought for their daughter, not hearing from her. And I remember when that broke out, because again, this is all recent stuff.
Yes.
So when that story started to come out, I couldn't understand how you ain't talked to your daughter in 2 to 3 years.
It was a bizarre thing to try and swallow.
Yeah, and we hadn't been having much of it in the media or the news. So it came left field, mm-hmm. and it almost seemed like a show.
Yeah.
It seemed like the Savages, the parents, were doing a show. But find out, they still haven't seen their daughter.
Right.
Their daughter is doing a TMZ video. I remember watching that TMZ video. Seeing the shadow saying cut. I remember they broke it down.
I remember that. I remember the Huffington Post interview, too.
Yeah. Well, I didn't remember the Huffington Post until I watched it on the docuseries.
Mm. When you saw... The Huffington Post was when she was standing with...
Nika. No.
So those are two separate ones.
The Huffington Post was when he was interviewed
by himself. Okay.
Yeah. And got up.
What caught me by surprise was I did not see the second TMZ video with Jocelyn when she was out in LA talking about she's free.
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
With Nika.
Yes.
I never saw that one prior to the show.
She looked real good.
She looked, she looked great. But when that interview first came out, I was so focused on how good Jocelyn looked, I didn't even see the boy that was standing next to her. And then when the show was like, when her mom said, I saw that TMZ interview and I realized that was my daughter.
And didn't even realize
I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I had to rewind and stop and stay there.
And look at her whole disposition. Like when you go back on it and she's just kind of like... It just looks like she's being quieted.
She was scared.
She was like, all right, Kelly was like, you just stand there and support her, and this is what you say.
Yeah. All her tattoos, she had all these tattoos on her arm. I remember pausing the screen because she did this slight glance at the camera, mm-hmm. and she immediately looked away.
It was like a quick side eye.
It was almost like it was an accident. It was like I looked at the camera.
Right. Like you have to remember camera's right there.
I remember pausing it and just looking at her. I was so taken back by her.
Mm-hmm. Every single calculated moment.
And then you have Jocelyn.
That she's been trained.
Jocelyn.
You have Jocelyn, who has been brainwashed into probably thinking that this is the life. She still hasn't come home or tried to reach out to her parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think the creepiest part about it is that, yes, they were out in public, but they're still held captive at the same time. And I think that's what kind of gave me chills, is that they're here, like they're on camera outside, but really they're not outside at all. It's like, they are shackled.
Yeah. And then on top of how chilling this all is, we get three other characters. We have Azriel, mm-hmm. who met him with her parents. Mm-hmm. at a concert.
That's so bold. That is so bold.
He calls her on stage and your daddy right there. I'm your daddy now, basically, was the initial, hi, how you doing? I'm going to call you on stage while...
That's above and beyond his natural, like, I go for the weak-minded, you know, because she had loving parents that made sure, like...
But there were other girls who had loving parents as well. I don't think he did anything different. That's his number, that's his game, and I think that as a predator, he can see and feel and sense, like, people that he knows that he can get at.
But
that's a different type of power.
The anonymous employee told us that he used to go after girls who had no support, like who was alone. So to see her there,
that was the progression. Yeah, that he had gotten so strong and powerful in his head that he was like,
I just feel like he could see and sense who she was, and that was enough to know that, oh, she got support, but I can get you.
Yes.
That's the way, like, I just
Well, especially figured. Calculated when she was a little older. She's, you know, like, she'll be 18 soon.
Right.
I can make the parents think one thing
until she's 18 and then I'll get her. Just work on her.
And that's what it seems like he did with Azriel, because he manipulated even the parents into thinking that I'm going to breathe your daughter into this pop star, into mm-hmm. this songstress. She's going to be good. I'm going to have her guardian while we're on a road. And they have such easy access to him that you start to believe it. Like, if I can get you on the phone in 5 seconds and I'm talking to you and you walking me through it, I'm not going to stand in my daughter's way.
But I would have easily been believable as a parent in that regard, but I would not for a second even considered letting my daughter work with somebody that was accused of 21 counts of pedophilia, any of that. Like,
that's what makes it different.
Like, no. Yeah. I don't care if he got off. That doesn't mean he's innocent. Anyone that, all those girls that came out, like, you're not spending time with my daughter.
That's true. But think about the amount of entertainers and singers and artists that parents did let him work.
They want the fame for their kids.
No, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I give them, or there's enough space for like a little bit of credit, because it's easy to say I would never let somebody that did this come around my child, but for different reasons, like, all these people have.
And they thought that they were taking the right precautions.
Of course.
It was like, I'm going to get him on the phone, got him on the phone. That does not mean he's not victimizing your child. Yeah. And then they admitted to her, their daughter falling in love with him. Like, he let her come home from graduation, but right after graduation, she was back. They haven't seen her since.
Since graduation.
Her sister comes visit her. Like, he still, because he talks to the parents, he still allowed her to make this trip happen with her sister. Yes, sis, come hang out. Like, it'll be good. But then her sister get there and it's different. Now, her sister also broke open a new door for us, because she had the situation where R. Kelly and Ezreal left. And it was this thing and they threatened her family. X, Y, and Z. But then later she comes out to her parents about what she really saw.
And temperature check, let me just go ahead and throw it out there, because this is one where I had a little bit of trouble just trying to decide, only because she wasn't as forthright as she said in the beginning. So I'm like,
right.
I believe that she's seen some things, but I kind of feel or am conflicted and like, maybe some of this she began to like add into it because it became known, or like after the fact.
I don't know. I mean, when someone puts a threat on your family, and that's the only thing you're thinking about is protecting them, I feel like it's easy to not disclose certain information.
I don't know. For me, I almost feel like
the threat would make you want to say something.
Right.
It depends on who it is.
I don't know. Because if this dude is crazy enough to have all these chicks in all these rooms and buckets and all that, like, and I don't know what he's capable of. And he has my sister.
So if I come out to the police and the police come knocking on the door,
and all of a sudden they don't know where my sister is, and she's just missing and there's no wellness check, we can't find her, then I'm going to feel like that was because of me and my big mouth and I didn't take heed to what he said.
But it goes both ways, because I also, when it came to Isis, Ezreal's sister, I don't know how I felt about her recounting her story from her perspective. I was like, I don't know. Like, I believe that she was there. I believe that she saw some things. I believe it got bad and he did make a threat to her family. But I wasn't connecting with everything she was saying. It wasn't pulling at my heartstrings. Not saying that makes it not true. That does not mean that it's not true.
Right.
But for my positioning as I was watching it, I was like,
it's a lot of room to not.
I was just like, but I get it.
I feel like I probably would have still confided in my parents, but I would have been like, we cannot go to the
right. Something.
Like, I would have told. So there's no way I could have kept it to myself, because I don't keep that to myself.
And then knowing that my sister's still there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And not leaving, but getting in a different room. But you don't have much. We don't have a whole lot of time. Do you want to talk about another girl?
So on top of, I thought you were going to be like, we don't have that much time for the police to come. I was like, what you saying?
The police did come.
On top of Ezreal and her sister's situation, he had time to get a new girlfriend, Asante. And she was 35 when they met. She was also a super fan. And she opened our eyes to the fact that you don't have to be
a young girl
in order for him to prey on you. Now, her story was a bit interesting, because he really built this relationship with her, but she was the only one who was able to walk us through where he kept them, what the house was like.
Chilling.
Once he lost all that money and the house became open, how was that tour for you guys?
And I'm sorry, really quick, is she the only one that, well, no, I guess a few others have come out of it and still been willing to talk and, like, go back and deal with it. But none of the sex slaves.
No one else walked back through the home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She exposed us to the black room. She exposed us to how she had to get attention when she was locked for food. Mm-hmm. Stomping on the wood, walking, not even being able to go into her room. Mm-hmm. Going into the black room where all the sexual encounters took place and just losing it. Mm-hmm. Because of all the memories.
I commend her for even going to the house at all. I mean, I know she didn't go into her room because she felt like she couldn't, but to even walk back over in that area would have sent me out of it. Yeah. So I commend her for even going. That's a big thing,
to know that you are not your past and you can conquer it in a sense where you're like, you know what? I can revisit this. Even if you didn't do it all the way, like, it's still commendable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
And the last girl we kind of got to get to know was Faith Rogers, who met R. Kelly at 19. Her first encounter with him was a sex thing. Like, they had been talking and having this relationship, but it wasn't until she flew out for a concert and went to the concert, lived her life.
Next morning.
Before she could even wake up.
Pay up.
He's, like, banging on the door. And then they proceed to have an encounter. He's confiding in her, just like all the other victims have said that he does to kind of gain that power. Mm-hmm. So he's telling her little things. What took a turn for me was the phone call. Him getting on the phone saying, we're coming down. I was like, well, I didn't know where it was going to go.
You're calling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who he was calling. For it to have been Jocelyn in the same hotel downstairs and then Faith seeing her, it was just like...
Wow.
Which is why I feel like he always mixes the women, which is why I felt like Andrea could have known something. So that mm-hmm. blew up. Faith got a chance to talk to the Savages, and unfortunately, it ended for us not knowing where Azriel or Joycelyn is, and their parents still not, till this day, being able to speak to them.
Right.
Yeah.
And thankfully, Dominique is back home with her mom, mm-hmm. as we know.
Faith's story made me really sad just because she has the disease, as we know, herpes, and it made me just fear for the rest of the girls that are still there, because I'm thinking, okay, if he gave her this incurable disease,
who else did he give it to?
Yeah, and he's giving it to them.
Mixing them with each other. Right.
And these girls are still confined. They can't leave, so they're not getting cured. So they're just kind of sitting. It's just, wow, mind-blowing.
It's disgusting.
I hope this does something.
He is a complete monster. Let's move into some news and gossip, guys. Yes, because so much has happened throughout this being aired, mm-hmm. even through the finale of it. And even in part 6, we got to hear from Charlamagne.
Yeah, so yep. Charlamagne was included. He had like 2 little interview segments mm-hmm. in part 6. And Charlamagne has always been pretty vocal on the Breakfast Club and how he feels about R. Kelly. But he's being dragged through the mud a little bit because we know Charlamagne has a past and he has been accused of some things. He has said some things in regard to like sexual misconduct and that are quote unquote rapey. So, mm-hmm. you know.
And I think he talked about it in his book, too. So I get the victims feeling some type of way that he was accused of this act and is speaking on behalf of someone else. Mm.
Yeah.
That's hurtful.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. That's hurtful. And then on top of the hurt, we have Andrea, who a video resurfaced with her.
Yes. Andrea.
Andrea.
Which it resurfaced recently, but it's reported to have been posted from 2017, which is almost feels like a year ago mm-hmm. since we just started 2019. And she's listening to her baby daddy song. And you can hear her just like in the zone, like, yeah, that's my baby daddy.
Come through, come through, come through.
She's singing Happy People, right?
You heard she's like, happy what?
Yes, that is my baby daddy playing in the background. What y'all about?
Yeah, what y'all about or what y'all thought?
What y'all thought? Sound.
What that just is very conflicting. It's confusing.
Okay.
Yeah. So she seems very happy.
And this was 2017. So while the sex cult the cult stories were coming out,
while they're doing it. So you know she has gotten a lot of criticism mm-hmm. over this video, mm-hmm. and at the end of the day. We don't know what's going on in the minds of any of his victims.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she spoke out about that today. Yeah. Right. She spoke about that today.
And it's not about what she does. She said something. It's not about what she says, or it's the fact that she got out, or something like...
Her singing that song could have really been a powerful thing for her. It could have been, yes, right. That is my baby daddy in the background. Yes, I am going to sing this song because he do not have power over me.
It could have been empowering in that sense.
Yeah, it could. We don't know.
Taken out of context.
And we can't gauge where people get, you know, come to that point.
Right. And you know, a lot of people are really mad. Like, why does she still have his last name and all that kind of stuff? Maybe she wants to keep the last name as her kids.
Yeah.
You know, you just, you never know. She's keeping her last name because she's keeping her last name.
Right.
You know.
We also have Chance the Rapper, who appeared in the docuseries and spoke about working with R. Kelly and then regretting not believing the victims at the time because they were black women. So then he had to come out with a tweet that should be shown on the screen. He had to come out with a tweet that basically said, you guys are misconstruing my words. I'm not saying that I didn't believe them because they were black or whatever the case may be. He was basically saying that us in a society, we didn't take all the facts and truly do with them what we could have. We kind of ignored them and distanced ourselves from who R. Kelly is as an artist and who he's been portrayed to be as the man in the world. So I kind of get Chance on that, and yeah. I'm happy that he spoke up, and I'm also happy that he did the interview. I'm happy that he had a voice in it.
I am too.
And the quote, it wasn't taken out of context from the docuseries. It was like Rolling Stones who did an interview and took it and misquoted.
Yeah, and then misquoted him, and then the media ran with it.
Right.
So R. Kelly is getting wind of all of this stuff. And what is his response, Tyler?
So R. Kelly and his team decided to put out this Facebook page called Surviving Lies. And it's basically to discredit any of the victims that were featured in the docuseries and to clear his name. But it's since been taken down because it just was inappropriate.
Because there's no lies to survive.
I mean, we pretty much have heard the truth, which was the docuseries, or, you know, what they're saying is the truth as far as we know. But, yeah, they wanted to clear his name, but it's not there anymore. So you can't find it, but it was there for a hot
not
second.
Not fooling anybody.
So the docuseries has come to an end, but I do not believe that this will be the end of the conversation surviving R. Kelly or what this instances have been. I do think that some more things are going to come to light. I am interested to see how he even feels like he can fight this or rebuttal this. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to continue this conversation.
The culture is clearly impacted
on social media.
Yes. Absolutely,
the culture is impacted. They feel completely. Some type of way. And even with the mute R. Kelly, we didn't get too much into that. But there are people who are standing up, who have been fighting, who have been canceling shows, who have been believing in the victims and really taking a stance. Mm-hmm. And now it's just up to the rest of us to really fight the battle with them.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed.
I look forward to continuing the conversations with you guys. But for now, you can follow me on all social platforms at @hey_itslay.
All right. And you can follow me on all social media at @Keith_Andre.
Robin with the V signing out. It's been realer than real. You can find me at B Stays Busy, BIZZY.
And Tyler, you can find me at Tyler S. McKinney on Instagram and at Tyler McKinney on YouTube.
We'll buzz you guys later.
Later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.